Hello, it's part two of the Decatur Herald and Review from the herald-review.com website. This is Debbie back again on Wednesday, September 9th, 2015, starting as we normally do in part two with the obituaries. John Benton, Decatur, Jack Benton, 82, of Titusville, Florida, passed peacefully on the morning of August 29, 2015, at the Hospice of St. Francis in Titusville, Florida. Memorial service will be held on Saturday, September 12, 2015, First United Church, Titusville, Florida. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Millikan University, Decatur, Illinois, or Titusville Elks Lodge, number 213. Next Decatur is another Decatur obituary, William Francis Cogan. Mr. William Francis Cogan, Bill, 87, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, September 8, 2015, at 7:50 a.m. in Decatur Memorial Hospital with his family by his side. Visitation will be Thursday, September 10th, 2015, from 5 to 7 p.m. in the Moran and Goebel Funeral Home, and again Friday, September 11th, 2015, in Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church from 10 to 11 a.m. Mass of Christian Burial to celebrate Bill's life will be 11 a.m. Friday, September 11th in Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Burial will take place at a later date in Graceland Cemetery. Mary Queen of Angels Mausoleum, Tier A, Crypt 4, with his spouse and partner, Barry A. Boots. In lieu of flowers, please make a donation in Bill's name to Homeward Bound Animal Shelter, 1720 Houston Drive, Decatur. The family of William Francis Cogan is being served by Moran and Goebel Funeral Home in Decatur. End of that obituary. Decatur again, Curry. Isaac Curry, 75, at Decatur, passed from this life on Friday evening, September 4th, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital, surrounded by his family. The family of Isaac Curry has entrusted the care of their loved one to Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home on Oakland Avenue in Decatur. Homegoing services to celebrate Isaac's life will be 11 a.m. on Friday, September 11th, in the Greater Northside Missionary Baptist Church on Lober Street, Decatur. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the services in the church. Burial with flight home ceremony will take place in Graceland Cemetery. The end. And continuing, Oakley. Rhonda Ruth Ann Flanagan, 55, of Oakley, Illinois, passed away early Monday, September 7th, 2015. Funeral services will be at 6 p.m. Friday, September 11th, 2015, at Britlinger and Earl Funeral Home, Decatur, with visitation 2 hours prior to service time at the funeral home. Decatur, Donald William Riddle, 82, Decatur, passed away on Thursday, September 3, 2015, in Decatur Memorial Hospital, surrounded by his family. Funeral service to celebrate the life of Donald W. Riddle will be 11 a.m. Friday, September 11th, in Moran Goebel Funeral Home. Visitation will be 10 to 11 Friday in the funeral home. Burial will be at Graceland Cemetery and conclude with a flight home ceremony. The picture in the with the obituary is unusual in that it's probably a five-year-old Donald William Riddle with a hat on and just looking very grown up and cute round cheeks. The end of that one. Decatur, Howard. Julia Ann Howard. Julia Judy Ann Howard, 76, a Decatur, died at 5:41 Sunday, September 6, 2015, in the Sullivan Healthcare Center. Funeral mass celebrating her life will be 2:30 p.m. Thursday, September 10, 2015, at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church with Father Rick Welton, celebrant. A visitation will be from 1 to Mass time also in the church. Burial will take place in the Mount Zion Township Cemetery. Tanzius Logan Funeral Service and Care is in charge of the arrangements. Dottrup, Sigurd B. Sutrup, Decatur. Sigurd B. Sutrup, 98, of Madison, Wisconsin, died in his sleep Sunday, August 30, 2015, in Attic Angel Place, an assisted living facility where he'd been living since 2001. Sig had been struggling with advanced dementia in recent years. In lieu of flowers and plants, memorials are encouraged for Attic Angel Place, 8301 Old Sauk, Sauk Road, Middleton, Wisconsin, or a Grace Hospice Care, 5395 East Cheryl, Cheryl Parkway, Fitchburg, Wisconsin. A memorial service for Sig will be held 11:30 a.m. Saturday, September 26, at Attic Angel Place in Middleton, Wisconsin. Burial of Sig's cremated remains will be private. Cremation and funeral arrangements were provided by Elisted Camacho Funeral Home in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Sig's family extends its thanks to the staff of Attic Angel Place for the consideration given to Sig during his final years and to Agres Hospice Care for his assistance in that care. Decatur, Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones, 66, of Decatur, passed away on August 4th in his residence. Memorial service will be held 5 p.m. Thursday, September 10th, 2015, at Walker Funeral Service. The family would like to give special thanks to Coroner Michael Day and Walker Funeral Services. Michael Kent Wilson, Decatur. Michael Kent Wilson, 68, of Greenview, died on Sunday, September 6, 2015, at his home. Mike was born on March 16, 1947, in Decatur, son of Ethel and Kenneth Wilson of Lake City, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, the family requests you make donations to the Michael J. Fox Parkinson's Research Foundation. Mike's family will greet relatives, friends, and family from 10 to 1 at Greenview United Church, with services held at 1 p.m. today. Reverend Stephanie McCullough officiating burial with military rites at Elmwood Cemetery. Hurley Funeral Home in Mason City is assisting the family with arrangements. The end. And the last of today's obituaries, Martha Ellen Prassen, Decatur. Martha Ellen Prassen, 84, Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 6:27 p.m. Sunday, September 6th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital, Decatur. A memorial reception will be held from 2 to 4 Sunday, September 13th, at the home of Monty and Marilyn Prassen, Decatur. Cremation rites will be accorded by Britlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur. Memorials will be made to Memorial Medical Center Heart Failure Disease Management in Springfield. The end of the death notices for today, Wednesday, September 9th. An item of interest, the 20 over 50 nomination. Nominees must be 50 years of age or older as of November 1st, 2015. You may nominate more than one person, and you may nominate yourself. Nominees can either work or live in Macon County. Nominations must be submitted by September 14th, 2015. Nominations may also be submitted by mail in care of the Business Journal, 601 East William Street, Decatur, Illinois, 62523. Of course, on the web page, they have something that can be submitted by email, but that's not real useful to us. Farm Progress. Decatur builds on promise of Farm Progress show. This is by Chris Lisvardi, who works for Herald and Review. Decatur. The agriculture industry was focused on what was happening last week in Decatur. With the conclusion of the Farm Progress show and farmers moving in on to start this year's harvest over the weekend, Ryan McGrady doesn't want the attention to drift too far from Decatur. He was busy during the event talking with exhibitors, letting them know about the opportunities available in the area. A fair number of leads were generated, and even the companies that wouldn't consider building in Decatur could take advantage of its transportation infrastructure through the opportunities the Midwest Inland Port is creating, said McGrady, Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County president. This is the biggest trade show in the country, McGrady said. If they use us for logistics, it's a win for Decatur. We want Decatur to see the benefit of the show for the community. Organizers viewed this year's Farm Progress show as widely successful and something that can be used for a building block as attention turns to next year's event near Boone, Iowa, and its return in 2 years to Decatur. The first phase of the $1 million expansion to Progress City was completed in time for the event, said Matt Jungman, the show's manager. We still see a lot more potential there, Jungman said. We want to do everything we can, so exhibitors still use this as a place to launch their products. It's encouraging to see groups coming back for each Farm Progress show, including a group of farmers from New York that started traveling to Decatur in 2007, said Greg Florian, Richland Community College Vice President of Finance and Administration. This is what they do. Jungman is hoping farmers left the show encouraged, especially as field demonstrations occurred after being called off the past 2 years in Decatur and Boone. Field demonstration corn yields near 200 bushels per acre and moisture levels in the high teens could hopefully be what farmers are seeing throughout central Illinois, Jungman said. It was a really good year for the early hybrids that were planted, Jungman said. It's some of the best corn we could have. Jungman said the plan is to start building more alliances with similar events internationally to build partnerships that would take visitors back and forth between the various shows. A strong international interest has already been created for the Farm Progress show. Visitors from 44 countries were pre-registered with two more, Turkey and Indonesia, added during the show, said Terry Hamill, Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau Executive Director. Officials in the Boone area have been able to capture the international interest with the proximity of its show site to Iowa State University in Ames, said Julie Weeks, Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau Director. Some of the Iowa State's research fields are located near the show site. Makes the logistics of scheduling tours easier, Weeks said. Some groups will even visit Iowa in the years the Farm Progress show is in Decatur, Weeks said. We draw quite a few international tours, Weeks said. They come for more than 3 days. Both places are in the heart of corn and soybean country. That's why this show works. Rain has been an issue during the show in Iowa, with the last day of the 2014 event washed out due to thunderstorms. So Weeks said they would enjoy having three perfectly dry days like it was in Decatur, even with hot temperatures. Jungman said a streak of no rain during the show hours of the six Farm Progress shows in Decatur continues. Weeks said her attention will turn in the next month toward marketing for the next year's event. The impact of hosting the Farm Progress show to the area in central Iowa is similar to central Illinois, with visitors staying within a 45-mile radius, including Des Moines, Weeks said. Hotel rooms are full during the show in Decatur, within a 50-mile radius, including Springfield, Bloomington, Normal, Champaign-Urbana, Tuscola, Mattoon, and Clinton, Hamill said. With the influx of visitors from all directions, show organizers do their best to have a plan in place to keep traffic moving and have everybody at a parking place as quickly as possible. For the most part, Macon County Engineer Bruce Bird said, Macon County Engineer Bruce Bird said that plan worked well last week. The Illinois State Police, Macon County Sheriff's Office, and Decatur Police Department helped to direct traffic coming into the site, Bird said. It's almost automatic at this point, Bird said. It's become second nature to them. One of the primary goals is to reduce what could be dangerous backups on Interstate 72. All the groups involved with traffic control meet in the spring to discuss plans, Bird said. That really sets the tone to get everybody ready for the show, Bird said. We want everyone to come to the show. Richland officials will be working with Farm Progress Management to complete and find financing for the expansion of the site in the next 2 years before the event returns August 29th to 31st, 2017, in Decatur, Florian said. One of the primary goals is to have the streets in the expanded area paved. Florian said the expansion helped with the logistics of getting visitors into Progress City, as another entry gate was added near bus parking and the paved lots near the main Richland buildings. Florian said the Craig Morgan concert was successful with an overall buzz of excitement throughout the crowd, so that is an experience he hopes will be repeated year after year, end of the article. Next is kind of a goofy article from the Los Angeles Times, and we'll just read a little bit of it. Will drone racing fly as a sport? Imagine careening through the forest chasing stormtroopers on speeder bikes as Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia did in the famous scene from Star Wars, flying around trees and ducking under branches. A group of drone operators created that sensation for internet viewers when they recently raced their camera-equipped robotic quadcopters through a forest. I'll repeat that. A group of drone operators created that sensation for internet viewers when they recently raced their camera-equipped robotic quadcopters through a forest. The video went viral. End of what we're going to read in that. On to crime and courts. Children get between fighting parents, call police. This is Warrensburg. Police in Warrensburg say they were called for help by a 12-year-old girl whose drunken parents were engaged in a violent row. And police say the girl's brother, 10, got between his mom and dad trying to stop them fighting. Officers had arrived at the family's home on North Washington Street at 10 p.m. Saturday and questioned the children's 35-year-old father, who tried to assure them everything was all right and his wife was inside drunk, according to sworn police statements. Police spoke to the couple's daughter, who told them that allegedly had happened. She stated her parents were drunk, yelling at each other and fighting. She did state her father pushed her mother and that he hit her, according to the statement. The couple's son backed up his sister's version of events and described his parents as yelling, cussing at each other and fighting. He did state he did get between his parents to push them away from each other, police said in the statement. Both parents allegedly told police they'd been drinking, and an officer said their physical altercation had left their children's mother, 31, with an abrasion wound on her right up forearm. Police then arrested the father and booked him on preliminary charge of domestic battery. Bail for the suspect was set at $5,000 with the condition that he had no contact with his wife and stays away from the family home. From Chicago, Ware's demeanor during drownings remained testimony focus. Chicago. Two former DeWitt County deputies were the last witnesses called by the state Friday in an effort to keep the three children born to Amanda Ware since the 2003 deaths of her three previous youngsters in Clinton Lake from returning home. Ware was known as Amanda Ham, and when she and her former boyfriend Maurice Legrone were accused of murdering the deaths of her children ages 6, 3, and 1 during a drowning at Clinton Lake. She was convicted of child endangerment, and Legrone, who was driving, was found guilty of murder, for which he is serving a life sentence. The Illinois Department of Children and Family Services removed two daughters, now ages 5 and 3, and an 18-month-old son from Ware and her husband, Leo Ware, in March 2014 after a doctor recognized her as the woman accused in the drowning case. On Friday, former DeWitt County Sheriff's Deputy Timothy Johns Collins testified about Ware's failure to rescue her children after the car went in the water. I didn't see her do anything around the vehicle, Collins told Cook County Associate Judge Dimitrios Kataros, the family court judge who will rule next month on the state's petition to retain custody of the children. Ware and Legrone told police the car went into the lake accidentally after he pulled close to the water on a boat ramp. with the car facing the lake as a prank to scare the children. The defense at her murder trial argued that Legrone likely put the car in drive rather than reverse as he looked over his shoulder to back up the ramp and could not alter its course once it sped into the lake. The car was in reverse when it was found. Collins was one of several emergency workers who pulled the three children from the car within 5 minutes after they responded to a 911 call from Ware. Among Collins' recollections were the dozen or so small handprints he saw inside the rear window of the car, presumably left by the children as they yelled for help from their mother. Ware's demeanor after the drownings, an issue at separate trials held in 2006, was raised by Cook County Assistant State's Attorney Gina Perdue on Friday. When asked how Ware acted at the hospital where children were rushed for medical treatment that ultimately failed, Collins said she followed what her mother did, referring to the times Ware's mother was visibly distraught during the ordeal. Lawyer for the Wares continued their efforts Friday to add more details from the 2003 police investigation than the negative elements highlighted by the prosecutors. In testimony from former DeWitt County Sheriff's Detective Rick Hahn, the defense elicited specific remarks Ware made as she saw her deceased sons at the hospital the last time, including, "I never wanted anything to happen to you." The state has largely focused this case on the allegations lodged against Ware in 2003 and her history of mental health and substance abuse issues. Leo Ware's criminal and drug history have been used to support the state's contention that he is also an unsuitable parent. After the hearing, Leo Ware said he wants his children to come home to what they were taken away from, a loving home. We were happy. They were happy before all this. The trial will continue Thursday, September 10th, when the defense is expected to call Ware's mother, Ann Powers, and five other witnesses to counter the state's claims. The three children are with a member of Leo Ware's family. End of that article. Continuing with crime in the courts, Steeple sentenced to life for murder of Charleston woman. Charleston. Saying Larry Steeples acted out of a sense of revenge, a sense of retribution, a judge Friday ordered him to serve a life prison sentence for shooting and killing Gina Jibberson. Steeples acted as if he had the right to kill another individual, and any other sentence would diminish the concept of justice, Circuit Judge Mitchell Schick said while imposing the sentence. As a jury did last month, Schick rejected Steeples' claims of self-defense during the April 7th, 2014 shooting death of Gibberson at her Charleston home. The only evidence the Steeples needed to defend himself was his own self-serving statement that Gina Jibberson was a threat, the judge said. Steeples, 54, showed no reaction when Schick announced his decision on the sentence for the first-degree murder conviction the jury handed down at the end of the trial. Some members of Gibberson's and Steeples' families began crying when Schick ordered the life sentence. Steeples never denied that he shot Jibberson, with whom he had been involved in a combative romantic relationship. He claimed he was first invited to her home. She forced him to leave after an argument, and then he broke back in, found Jibberson with a gun, and shot her after taking it from her while defending himself. But on Friday, Schick agreed more with the prosecution's theory that Steeples was angered about Jibberson's involvement with another man, Lee Conover, and about a fight with Conover at a Charleston tavern a few weeks earlier that ended with Steeples' throat slashed. Steeples declined his chance to make a statement to Schick, saying, "I've got nothing to say about her." When Schick told him that today's about you and he could say what he wanted, Steeples again said, "I got nothing to say." The conviction and sentence mean Steeple has no chance for parole unless something changes on appeal. Schick scheduled a hearing for Friday for an expected motion to reconsider the sentence. A first-degree murder conviction requires a minimum sentence of 20 years in prison, but when a gun was used, another 25 years has to be added. Steeples was arrested at Jibberson's home immediately after the shooting and has been jailed since then. End of that article. Continuing with this topic, robbing, slapping victim nets charges. Decatur. Richard A. Winston, 58, of Decatur, is being held in jail on a $35,000 bond after he slapped a woman and grabbed her money after panhandling $5 from her. Winston was arrested about 1:45 a.m. Saturday in the 1000 block of West Wood Street near the scene of the crime, which occurred on the night of July 5th. And this is an old article, so we will not read any more about it. Apologies. In sports, Pena gets it right in rain. It didn't matter that it rained the whole game. The Paina boys soccer team was just glad to be back on the field after what happened Saturday. 3 days after their worst performance of the season, the Panthers got the ball to their best goal scorer, and he didn't disappoint. Jack McLeod scored 4 of Paina's 5 goals in a 5-3 win against Piazza Southwestern on Tuesday. End of that. And to close out, Wednesday, September 9th, 2015, I've run out of the news with the Decatur Herald and Review, and there had been some kind of goofy jokes at the back of the E3 in the News Gazette that I thought were kind of fun to share as an end of a paper reading. Dirty hands. A teacher sees a student entering the classroom. His hands are very dirty. She stops and says, "John, please wash your hands." "My goodness, what would you say if I came into the room with hands like that?" Smiling, the boy replies, "I think I'd be too polite to mention it." Book collectors, the next one. A collector of rare books ran into an acquaintance who told him he'd just thrown away an old Bible he'd found in a dusty old box. He happened to mention the Guten somebody other had printed it. "Not Gutenberg," gasped the collector. "Yes, that was it. You idiot, you've thrown away one of the first books ever printed. A copy recently sold at an auction for $500,000. "Oh, I don't think this book would have been worth anything close to that," replied the man. "It was scribbled all over in the margins by some clown named Martin Luther." And next, singles ad. This has got to be one of the best. I'm reading here. This has to be one of the best singles ads ever printed. It appeared in the Atlanta Journal. And it's kind of a shaggy dog story and one you've probably heard before. Single black female seeks male companionship. Ethnicity unimportant. I'm a very good-looking girl who loves to play. I love long walks in the woods, riding in your pickup truck, hunting, camping, and fishing trips, cozy winter nights, lying by the fire. Candlelight dinners will have me eating out of your hand. I'll be at the front door when you get home from work, wearing only what nature gave me. Call ... and ask for Daisy. More than 15,000 men found themselves talking to the Atlanta Humane Society about an 8-week-old black Labrador retriever. Men are so easy. That was received from Thomas Ellsworth. And finally, why proofreading is important. Important notice, if you have one of hundreds of parachuting enthusiasts who bought our Easy Skydiving book, please make the following correction. On page 8, line 7, the word state zip code should have read pull rip cord. End of that. And the last corny joke to end this September 9th Herald and Review section with Debbie, who will come back again next week and talk to you, is CPR. A woman had just completed a CPR course and was on the lookout for a chance to try it out. As she left a shopping center, she saw a man lying on the floor with a lot of people gathered around him. Screaming, "I know first aid!" she ran to the person, threw her bag down, loosened all his tight clothing, and got ready to start mouth to mouth. At this stage, a huge policeman tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Do you mind? I'm trying to arrest this man." End of section 2. Thank you very much. Have a great week.